Welcome to episode 82 of Paws, Claws and Wet Noses, the vet podcast celebrating all creatures, great and small, and the fantabulous professionals who look after them all. I'm your show host, Julie South. This week and next week, we're looking at questions you can ask a recruitment agency and the types of answers you should be looking for. This week's recruitment agency questions are for the job seeker, so the vet, the nurse, the tech, or anyone else looking for a veterinary sector job. And next week, we'll look at it from the other side, from the clinic's perspective. I believe it's important you understand how both sides of the fence work and the types of questions that are relevant so you can each get a bit of a feel for the motivations of the employee and the employer. I also want to share something with you that I did at the end of summer, which I hope you'll enjoy hearing about. And also maybe, just maybe, you might want to do something similar yourself. If you want to go straight to the 9 questions, fast forward to about the 9-minute mark. Then you won't have to listen to what I did over summer. Paws, Claws and Wet Noses is sponsored by VetStaff. If you've never heard of VetStaff, it's New Zealand's only full-service recruitment agency, 100% dedicated to the veterinary sector. VetStaff has been around since 2015 and works nationwide, from Cape Reinga to the Bluff and everywhere in between. As well as helping Kiwis, VetStaff also helps overseas qualified veterinarians find work in Aotearoa, New Zealand. VetStaff.co.nz. About that thing I did that I wanted to share with you, I hope you'll get as much of a buzz out of it as I have, because it has to do with animals, and you love animals, otherwise you wouldn't be doing what you're doing, right? Right? I always wanted a bird bath in my garden. My mum has one, and whenever I visit her, I can sit and watch the birds play for hours. They look like they're having so much fun. So, towards the end of the summer that we've just had, I decided to get off my tush and actually make myself a birdbath. It was quite a landscaping, architectural and engineering feat, because it couldn't be anywhere near where my husband had to, or anywhere my husband had to mow around, because he's quite precise with the lawnmower, or anything that needed edging. That's what he does with our lawns at the edge. Wherever there's a path, the lawns are edged with this ultra noisy, super heavy contraption that has a really dangerous wordy blade. But it produces super sharp lawn edges. So I knew that I couldn't increase his workload by having something that he would need to edge around. It also couldn't be hanging from any tree, because that would get in the way as well. Apart from which, I probably wouldn't be able to reach it, because I'm not exactly known for my great height. And it needed to be somewhere I could actually see and enjoy the birds. The perfect place for me is resting on the corner of the handrail of our deck. I've got twigs under a 52 centimeter plastic planter saucer for the birds to perch on, so they stick out each side of the under the saucer. And they won't poke anyone in the eye if they walk past, but I can still see them from where I work. I bought a solar-powered water pump because I read that birds prefer to drink from moving water. Every week, I have to remove the gunk that manages to grow in the water and clog up the pump, but that's okay. I've got it worked out that if I prod and poke with a bamboo skewer, Kiwi number 8 fencing wire, if I prod and poke with a Kiwi skewer, it does the job and I don't have to get my hands wet or dirty. But the amount of smiles I've given myself from watching the birds play in the baths is immeasurable. I've got 2 of them now, side by side. It's huge. I have so much fun watching them having fun. I've since rigged up a feeding station next to the water as well. Every morning I fill the food cage with these really special, super expensive native bird attracting truffles, which I got from Mitre 10, and I top up the bird baths and then I can watch the birds arrive. At first, I was a bit disappointed because it took the birds, a good couple of weeks before they visited. I wasn't sure whether they liked it and was thinking that I'd have to move everything somewhere else where I wouldn't be able to see and enjoy it, but then they started visiting. Now, they're so familiar with me, so comfortable with me, that as soon as I open the door of the house to feed them each morning, they start hovering around. About a month ago, the first tui arrived. He was really cautious at first. He did a few flyovers, quite a few touch and goes, where he flew into the water and then flew straight back out again. Now there are a few tuis and they visit regularly, such that I can almost set my watch by them. I don't know what it is, whether it's the sun, but that doesn't make sense because, you know, the sun angle changes each day, but it's around 3 o'clock each afternoon and the tuis come to play. Why am I telling you this? Apart from the fact that I just love my birds, but also because when they visit, I find myself taking a few moments to stop, watch and enjoy, and they make such a difference to my day. I can't tell you how much I enjoy them. Words just aren't enough. I send videos of the birds splashing water all over the place to Kajal and Isabel so that they can smile as well. I think they think I'm a bit crazy. If you're interested to see what I'm talking about there, visit pawsclawswetnoses.fm and have a look. Episode 82. I'll post some videos there for you as well. So, why am I telling you about this? I would like to invite you to find something simple for you that makes you smile. Something you can enjoy every day that's kind of unpredictable, but still gets you smiling. And you know it's going to happen. Even though it's unpredictable, it's going to happen. It'll make a huge difference to your stress levels because it's a way of having a moment of mindfulness. And that's got to be good for you. Preferably something that you can enjoy during your work day. So, for example, do you have a clinic cat or a bird or a clinic pet that you'll have a ball just watching or stroking or feeding or petting? Something. Because seriously, I can't believe the difference that just watching these birds go about their ordinary bird lives has made to my life. And if you do have something like this in your life, please let me know. Please send me photos or an email because all of us at VetStaff would so enjoy hearing about your clinic's pet. Anyway, enough of me. Let's get on with the show. So bring it on, Brian.
An old vet told my father when he was a student in Glasgow, he said, if you want to be a success in veterinary practice, just keep the bowels open and trust the rest to God.
Nutrition's not an opinion, it's a science.
They called me that weird herbal needle vet, and I just remember thinking, well, I'm still going to do it, because I know it works, and I've got the research to back it.
From reminiscences of the real James Herriot's son, to pet nutrition, to acupuncture, the Vet Podcast discusses current animal health issues from around the world. I'm veterinarian Brian Greger from New Zealand. Just search for the Vet Podcast wherever you get your podcasts from.
Here are 9 questions job seekers can ask recruitment agencies before they start working with them. The first, but they are all important. The first one, are you a specialist or a generalist? This is important because you only want to be working with specialist veterinary sector agencies. Only an agency who knows the vet scene in New Zealand will truly be in a position to find you your dream job, or Australia if you're in Australia. We can help you in Australia as well. As a general rule, only the small boutique agencies like VetStaff work exclusively in the veterinary sector. For example, we don't help butchers, bakers, or candlestick makers find jobs. We only help veterinary professionals, and only in New Zealand and only in Australia. So make sure the agency you're working with knows this sector. You'll get a feel for that, apart from looking at their website, by the language they use. It'll let you know that they know what goes on inside vet clinics and how that affects you. If you don't actually want to ask that question, then go to their website and see what types of jobs they list available. If they're all type, you know, if there's butcher, baker, candlestick maker, then they're obviously not specializing in the veterinary sector. Question number two, what is their interview process like with you? And then when you're interviewed by a clinic, a quick chat is not an interview. A quick chat kind of implies that all they're after is your CV, so they can send it out to all the clinics on their database, which is what you could do yourself if you wanted. And if there's no formal interview, how are you going to receive any feedback about how you present? Maybe some nervous mannerisms you might have that are getting in the way of you presenting in the best way possible. You don't get that from a quick chat. How will they know what your values are, what's important to you? Any possible areas that you need help navigating with or through? If all you're getting is a quick chat, where is the respect and or value to you in that? For an agency to find you your dream job, you need to have a formal interview at the agency before you're introduced to a clinic. Here at VetStaff, our job seeker onboarding process has a few steps to it. We aim to find out as much about you as we possibly can before we send you out to a clinic. We believe we're doing you and the clinic a service because we don't want to waste either your time or the clinic's time. So you want more than a quick chat. You actually want an agency interview with all the bells and whistles that go with it. Number three, because this is your career we're talking about. Number three, you give the agency permission for every single job they put you forward for. This is important. In fact, it's a breach of the New Zealand Privacy Act for your information to be sent out without your express permission in each case. As I said before, you want to be wary of agencies that just spray your CV all over town with the hope a clinic will come back to them saying, "We want to interview that person." Sending your CV to all and sundry is nothing that you can't do yourself. It's not something I recommend, by the way. The spray and pray way of getting a job isn't the most successful way to work. Also, spraying your CV all over town means that none of the applications are going to be personalized or customized to ensure your top talents that match what the clinic is looking for are highlighted and brought to the attention of the person who's doing the shortlisting. When you're working with VetStaff, we'll personalize every single application we make for you to suit each clinic's specific requirements. And we'll also make sure that we get your permission first. Number four, interview coaching. Does the agency provide you with interview coaching? If not, why would you use them? Especially if it's been a while since you went for a job interview, or maybe you've never actually had a job interview, or you're about to interview for the very first time for a job down under. Make sure you get coaching. By the way, all of this should be a free value-add service to you, the job seeker. If you're the one looking for a job, an agency won't charge you. That's because we get paid by the clinics that hire us to find you. And while I'm talking about how agencies work and get paid, no employer should charge you for using an agency either. I know there are some clinics in New Zealand that claw back a recruiter's fee from an employee if they leave within a certain period. We won't work with those clinics. We know which ones they are, and we won't touch them with a 40-foot barge pole, and you won't go anywhere near them if you're working with us. And perchance, if we accidentally find ourselves working with a clinic like that, and we didn't find out until it was too late, which would be when we were checking that your individual employment agreement, your IEA, was in line with New Zealand employment law, we'd get that clause removed for you before you signed it. And if the clinic pushed back on that, and we'd also let you know that it was in there to start with so that you can go in eyes wide open. And if the clinic pushed back on that, we'd explain everything to you so you could make an informed decision about working with that clinic. Last year, we were working with one clinic that tried to pull a fast one like that over one of our job seekers. Isabel and I were horrified. Actually, it was a horrible discovery. We both felt cheated and beaten up at the same time. We found another job for that job seeker that offered more money and a no-hooks individual employment agreement. We won't work with that clinic again. And if anyone asks us about that clinic, we'll have no hesitation in sharing our experience, but we're not into naming and shaming. Number five, you want interview feedback. The agencies that spray your CV over town leave it to the clinics to liaise direct with you, which means not only won't you receive any pre-interview coaching, but the chances are high you won't receive any feedback from the clinic either. Feedback is important. In some cases, it's absolutely critical, especially if you're very shy and that comes across, for example, as arrogance. You can't change something if you don't know about it. So make sure that you get feedback from your interview by the agency, and it's for every single interview that you go for. Number six, referees. I've said this before, but not for a while. One of the advantages of using an agency is that your referees will usually only be contacted once. Some agencies don't even do that. Whereas if you don't use an agency, you do your own job hunting, so you DIY yourself. Every time you're shortlisted for a job, your referees are going to be contacted. And if you're applying for a few jobs at the same time, you can see how the novelty of polishing your halo and being your referee is going to wear thin after a few clinics have contacted them, can't you? And talking of referees, you must give every person permission to contact your referees and you must also give the referee permission to talk to that person. If this doesn't happen, then another breach of the New Zealand Privacy Act has occurred again. So make sure you give permission for your referees to be contacted and find out who's doing the reference checking. Is it going to be the agency or is it going to be the clinic? Number seven, contract negotiation. Will the agency negotiate your new contract for you? Or are you left high and dry to negotiate direct with the clinic? Here at VetStaff, we'll do whatever it takes to negotiate a contract you're 100% satisfied with. Sometimes this takes weeks. The longest I've spent is 8 weeks negotiating a contract. And this happens when a job seeker has leave in the middle of the contract negotiation period. So everything grinds to a standstill until they return. Those agencies that spray your CV all over town won't be bothered with negotiating on your behalf because the reason they spray your CV all over town in the first place is so they can be the first one to introduce you to a clinic, claim their fee, and move on to the next job seeker. With VetStaff, I promise you will get the best contract possible. And just for the record, the best contract might not be the highest pay rate. It could be something entirely different that's important to you. Whatever it is, I'll do my utmost to make it happen for you. So do they negotiate your contract or are you left high and dry to do it yourself? Number eight, onboarding at your new job. How do they help with that? What happens once you start? Will the agency keep in touch with you? And what does keeping in touch mean? What will they do to ensure that you're onboarded at the clinic. What will they do to ensure your first week is as smooth as it possibly can be in your new job? Ask them, because it's your career that's being affected and impacted. Number nine, the last one, mentoring and coaching after you start. This is a brand new initiative that we've just started at VetStaff and one we are super excited about. It's great for the clinics and it's great for the new employees, you. When you work with VetStaff exclusively to find your next job after you start, you'll receive 3 months of coaching with our love and our thanks. You'll look at things like self-belief, value, purpose, career development and special interests, work-life balance and resilience, how to cope when things go wrong, when perfectionism doesn't work for you, perspective, performance, role transitioning and acceptance. As well as that, there'll be an element of mentoring in the conversation, but it's mainly about coaching you to be the most fantabulous version of you that you can be. You've heard me say this often, I hope. This means you'll be supported in finding answers as opposed to the answers being given to you. So how exciting is that? We're absolutely tickle pink about it. We've got a few vets in the countdown to starting their new jobs and we can't wait to hear what they think about it. Those are some of the things that are available to you as a job seeker when you use a recruitment agency. As you can see, not all recruitment agencies are created equal, so you need to know that you're entrusting your professional future to an agency that has your best interests at heart, that they're not just after the payday they'll have by introducing you to a clinic. I'll just recap them for you. Is the agency specialist or generalist? Check this out on their website, then you don't even have to speak to them. You can find out what sort of jobs they're listing. If there's butchers, bakers, and candlestick makers on there, they're not a specialist agency. What sort of interview process will you get by them? Pre-clinic interview process. What is their process for applying for jobs on your behalf? Keep in mind the New Zealand Privacy Act and are there any breaches of that? Do they provide interview coaching? Will they give you interview feedback? How will they approach your referees? What permission do they seek? Do they even approach your referees or do they leave that to the clinic? Will they negotiate the contract for you or are you left to do that yourself? What steps do they take to help with onboarding at your new job? And do they provide professional coaching after you start at your new job as a way of supporting you and your career? Thank you for listening. I hope you found this helpful. If you have other questions I haven't covered today, please send them this way and I'll answer them for you. Remember to come back next week because we'll be looking at questions a clinic should be asking a recruitment agency and answers to look out for. To make sure you don't miss out, if you haven't already, hit that follow button wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, and all episodes will be fed direct into your library or your feed so you'll never miss out. This is Julie South signing out and inviting you to go out there and be the most fantabulous version of you you can be. Ka kite anō, take care, and God bless. Paws and Wet Noses is sponsored by VetStaff. If you've never heard of VetStaff, it's New Zealand's only full-service recruitment agency, 100% dedicated to the veterinary sector. VetStaff has been around since 2015 and works nationwide, from Cape Reinga to the Bluff and everywhere in between. As well as helping Kiwis, VetStaff also helps overseas qualified veterinarians find work in Aotearoa, New Zealand. VetStaff.co.nz